Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Empire.
To another live stream edition of the John Kahn Report. I appreciate you tuning in, and as always, if you want to subscribe to the page, go to wherever you find your podcast, go to the Empire Media YouTube page, hit like and subscribe. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And I appreciate you sticking with me. Had some technical difficulties. We're supposed to have Mickey Gabala on with me, but because there were some, I'm not sure what was going on, so it's going to be me flying solo with you. So the big news for today is Bobby Wagner joining the Commanders on a one-year deal. And this is a guy that I know a lot of people would have wanted for a while. Now, keep in mind, in the past, he wasn't going to come here. And it wasn't because of anything other than he wanted to stay on the West Coast. And he also wanted to play for a contender, neither one of which was Washington. Now you're coming here and you're playing for a coach in Dan Quinn that had you in Seattle, and Ken Norton Jr., who also coached you in Seattle. So the familiarity once again mattered for the Commanders. So what does he add? Well, he adds leadership. And it's funny because when you talk to people about this defense and people who know these guys on this defense, myself included, one of the things was that was missing was leadership. And especially when it came to the back seven, I feel, and I've told you before, one of the things that I think made a difference was losing Bobby McCain. Now, he was past his prime as a player, or was it, he was only just an okay player, but he was a good leader in the secondary. But you needed that guy in the back seven, and they did not have that. And they haven't had that for a while. Like Cole Holcomb, I think, was a nice player, but I don't consider him that strong leader. And Cody Barton just never was here long enough, and that wasn't his personality as well. It is Bobby Wagner's, so that's a big plus. Now, and like as a little example of things that he can do is you look at Seattle last year after their first game of the year. It's a Wednesday going into the second game. It's the first game of the year. And a lot of times you hear about these fiery speeches when it's, you know, before a game or at halftime or something like that. Well, this time it came on a Wednesday, and he gathered the team. He chewed them out and chewed them out good, apparently. Apparently he dropped some F-bombs, and my ESPN colleague Brady Henderson wrote a story about it. It's on ESPN if you want to check it out. But he dropped some F-bombs. But again, it was more just trying to get people focused, and he's not afraid to do that. And remember, like, he had just gone back to Seattle, so even though he was a legend there, he had just gone back there. So you know, I think that it just shows you just the value has in it. Now, I've been around guys who might do some stuff like that, but they weren't considered leaders. Like people, like when DJ Swearinger was here, a lot of players would roll their eyes, and you know, you'd hear like, oh, he gathered the guys before practice, he said this. Players would roll their eyes at that. And I don't think they considered him a leader in that, certainly not in that regard. But I think with Wagner, that's what he offers. And so I think that's something that is of value here. The question is, what does he have left? And that's the one thing that I don't know that I can answer. I'm not sure. You talk to people who watched him play out in Seattle, you know, certainly were around the team. I think there's a question about that. Is he the same cover guy that he was before? Is he the same, you know, should he be playing every down? And maybe he won't have to. So that's the one thing you wonder what he has left, because just remember, I've always said you don't chase names, you chase where these guys are at. But it's a one-year deal. So if whatever he has left, I think in a one-year deal, he should be okay because of what the value that he also adds. The other couple other things he gives you. One, first of all, in Seattle last year, I don't think the plan was to play him as much as they did. I think they needed to. So so I think that's something that, you know, to watch how they use him here. And I think that's – but the other part of that is that it gives them some flexibility in what they can play. So in Dallas, they played a 3-4 with Dan Quinn. That's their base. I know that the base is only about 20 to 25% of the time. And then in the nickel, it's something else. But it gives you some flexibility with the base. And Seattle used a base 3-4 last year. So he's played in a 34 front in the base package for a couple years in a row now. And now you have two guys who can play in the middle in a 34 in Wagner and Frankie Louvu, if you want to play that way, and then use Jamin Davis kind of in a hybrid type role. Or if you go to a 43 base, then you can put Wagner in the middle or Louvu in the middle, whichever one you want to do. But Louvu can play outside and Wagner can play in the middle. He's used to having that green dot on his helmet. So I think it gives you some of that flexibility. And I think that's one of the big things that he gives you, whatever he has left. And that, again, I think a lot of it is, what are you relying on him to do? What is it that you want him to come in and do? And if you want him to come in and be a leader, help set a tone with how you want your program to go, well, this is a good thing. And I think an important factor here with the guys who are more veteran type players, the older guys, they're getting 1-year deals. So this is, to me, that what that signals is, one, you want to establish your program. And I talked about this on the podcast the other day about creating your identity as a program. And I think that's one of the things that Wagner allows you to do. Guys like that, Zach Ertz, same kind of situation. What does he have left? I don't know. I think he was still effective when he was healthy, but what they do is they help establish in the room how you want things to go, how you need things to go, because you know how they're going to work. You know how they're going to approach it. And I think that's an important factor in all these signings. Because one thing I like about these signings is these aren't, you know, Wagner is a big name, but he's no longer the all-pro guy that he was. And that's okay, because they're not paying him that way. But what you're doing is you get these guys in here for a year, you reestablish where you want to go, you draft well, you bring in some other guys on Armstrong, some guys like that on multi-year deals that who will be part of this franchise for a couple of years. And that's who you're giving, you know, more of the longer term deals to, which is good. But with the older guys, bring them in for 1 year, draft some guys, get some guys in the system this year, next year, and then go from there, because, you know, that's how you start to establish your program. If they were giving guys like this 3-year deals, older guys like that, I would say there's something wrong, because then now they're trying to like win right now. What I get the sense here is they know that this roster needed work, and this allows them to start to build with free agency while also maybe reestablishing an identity with your program. So that's what the older players do. The younger guys come in, they have to be part of the future still. They're not mortgaging their future with any of these deals. And they did need to build up this roster. So that's one thing. The other thing is too, when you look at the guys that they have signed and the importance of familiarity with this. So I was talking to a guy who's a longtime coach earlier today and asked him, like, what do you think the biggest mistakes, where do they occur in free agency? And right away he said that the familiarity. He said the number one thing that he learned over the years was you need to be familiar with the talent you're bringing in. And when you look at the guys they're bringing in, then that's what this is about. So, I mean, I think the only guy that I haven't found that they had a direct connection to may have been Nick Allegretti. Cause even like Jeremy Chinn and Louvu, well, Jason Simmons, secondary, you know, who's defensive passing corner. Well, he had Chinn in Carolina and he had Louvu in Carolina now. So like there is a familiarity there, and that's important. You know, it's one reason why it wouldn't shock me if they go get a receiver, like a Josh Reynolds from Detroit, because Lance Newmark knows him. Is he a great receiver? No, but he's big and he'd be a good secondary option beyond, you know, and I still think Jahan Dotson can do a really nice job. But you need another guy in there and he gives you that size, but there's familiarity with it. The same reason why Jordan Lewis corner, familiarity, if they go that way. Now, not every guy is going to have somebody that you know, but that's where it helps, because what happens, it's not just, because it's your guy, but you know what the guy can do. You know what his strengths and weaknesses are, and it can allow you to plug him in right away and go. When they brought William Jackson in, a big mistake was not really knowing truly what they had. And the only guy who was on the Cincinnati staff with Jackson would have been Ken Zampezi, quarterback's coach here. You're only going to know so much. But when they got Jackson, like, they didn't fully grasp, I think, what he couldn't do. And it took them a year and a half to learn what he couldn't do. That was a mistake. And talking to people over the years here, I think they recognize that that was a mistake. But that's where the familiarity helps. In the past, you would have guys visit the facility in free agency, like way back in the day that, first day of free agency, the big time guys are going to visit places. Most of them were going to visit places. All these signings that have occurred this week or today would have happened over the course of a week in the past. So you go to the facility, you get to know them. You see, is this a good fit or not for both sides? Well, now both sides have an idea when you have that familiarity. And I think that's why it's so important to have that. And again, with Wagner, they know. Ken Norton knows. He just had him a couple years ago. And then Quinn knows. Now, Quinn had him a while ago. The danger is when you get a lot of these guys to try and, like, are they the same player? Now, Austin Eckler is not the same player he was when Anthony Lynn had him in with the Chargers. And certainly Wagner is not the same player that Dan Quinn had, because that was 10 years ago. But you know what he can do. You know what he adds. And I think that's important. Same with Chin. And it's funny because I talked to someone today who, like, this is earlier today, and the two signings they liked the most were Chin and Luvu. And I think because of what they added to this defense. That's one of the things that I think was key for them. But again, familiarity, and I know a lot of times people wonder, like, why are you bringing all these guys in? Well, that's why, especially in free agency. And again, that is really, really what I think makes the difference. And Sean Garner here says the Wagner signing surprised me. And as he pointed out, I said earlier he wouldn't come. Yeah, I said that during the season. He wasn't coming during the season. He wasn't going to come before now. And again, because of familiarity with Dan Quinn and Ken Norton Jr. And also, I will also say this. I do believe, and you look at guys like Tyron Smith, would he come here? If he's coming here on a one-year deal, it means he probably didn't get what he wanted somewhere else. That's the thing, is because most of those time, those guys want to go somewhere where they can, play for a ring. And this year, you're probably not going to do that in Washington unless whoever comes in at quarterback becomes all world right away. That's one of the things that I think, again, makes a difference when you have that. But guys do like playing for Quinn, and so I think that also helps. I think guys liked working with Quinn on the staff. So I think that also helps as well. And
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The other thing too that I wonder about where things are going here is what happens with Sam Howell. And I know I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I do wonder, like, what happens with him now? And it's funny when you talk to people, I do think there's going to be interest in him around the league as a backup. The question is, what is the price tag you're willing to pay? And I think that's what'll be interesting to see. What I do know, and hearing from some people over with Washington, is that they don't feel like they have to go do something right now. And I wonder with what you see, the market for Justin Fields has not developed, I think, the way maybe the Bears hoped it would. And I know that they're saying they don't need to make a decision now, but I think you kind of would like to have made that decision by now as to what to do. but it also signals to me that a lot of teams maybe are hesitant to give them what they want. And then you see what Mac Jones was traded for. So clearly, you know, Howell's only going to have some, you know, the value, I don't know where it is right now, but they don't have to do it. And again, as someone there yesterday said, told me, like, hey, there are worse things than having three good quarterbacks on a roster. So just keep that in mind. The other thing is, again, you can trade him if you keep him now, then you can trade him in August if somebody gets hurt. You can trade him at the deadline if somebody gets hurt. So he can still be an asset for you down the road if you don't do it now. You don't need to. They have good picks in this draft. They don't need to add another one, but maybe it would be nice to get one for the future. So that's why you can be willing to be patient with them. There, again, there's no rush. I mean, I don't know why you'd have to rush, because when you rush, you can make mistakes. And this group tends to be very patient and prudent with how they operate. So I don't think it's going to be a case of, oh, you got to get rid of him. Why? What's the difference of him going into the OTAs or camp? It's not going to be, if you know where you're probably going to go. Ideally, you would trade him before the draft if you're going to do that, because then you can maximize if you get a good value pick. But if you don't get the pick you want, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything. And this is a franchise that's been waited for a long time for a quarterback. Then I don't think you need to, I don't think you need to get rid of a guy that, if you think he can still play. And again, I think there will be interest in him from around the league. So I think that those are some of the things that jump out. And then Jamison Crowder coming back. And I like that one just because I personally like Jamison Crowder. Actually, there's another guy coming back too, Jeremy Reeves, but Crowder first. So Crowder, I've covered him his whole time that he's been here, obviously. And he did a nice job returning punts. Now, he wasn't dynamic. He did have a good one against Atlanta that basically won him the game. But I don't, he was around 7.9 yards per return. So it wasn't awesome. But there were a couple times it looked like he was close. He's willing to make, he takes some chances where, in other words, not like careless chances, but sometimes you could fair catch. He's not necessarily going to. But I also liked about Jamison is that he can still go out there and run some routes and do them very well. So nice backup for them. Like I said earlier, I think you still need to go out and get a receiver. I'll be curious to see what they do there. And I pointed out Josh Reynolds from Detroit just because of the ties to Lance Newmark. And I do think there'd be interest there in part because of that reason. Now, where it goes, I don't know. But I do think that would make some sense because, again, he has size. There's also Marquise Brown out there, I believe, is still out there as of when I'm talking to you right now, unless something's happened since we've been, in the last half hour to an hour. And then you can also look to the draft. And that's the other thing I like about these signings is it keeps the flexibility for the draft. And I think that's why it's important. And I just put up something from N. Norwood, and I like this. It says, don't chase names in free agency, chase age and production. Amen, man. These are full to depth spots. The draft is your long-term team. You could not have said it any better, and it's exactly what they think as well. That's why I say when you talk to people, they are intent on building through the draft. This allows them to keep doing exactly that. And so, again, you bring in guys, the guys that you expect to play start for a couple of years, Dorrance Armstrong, Tyler Biadasz, those guys got three-year deals. So if they're playing well after 2 years, you can keep them. If they're not, you can cut them. But there's not this massive long-term situation, but those are the guys that you expect to start for a few years. Then you get like Cleveland Farrell, and then you get Dante Fowler, one-year deals. You can draft a defensive end you don't have to take one high. You can take one third round or whatever and help and hope that and develop him over the course of the year, get ready to replace a guy the next year, or a KJ Henry if you think he can be developed, or Andre Jones, whomever. So I think that's why I like this approach, because I think it sets you up. I don't know that they're, in terms of the roster, I don't know that you can look at it, and I'll have other guests on to talk about this. Can you look at it and say they are appreciably better? Are they, I think Zach Ertz can still play. Got to stay healthy. I'd say the same thing. Logan Thomas had to stay healthy. I think Ertz can play if he stays healthy. I think, Austin Eckler, is he dramatically better than what they had? No, but he can still be productive. And then one of the things that's funny, because in watching him, for example, he knows how to be a pass catcher out of the backfield. There's a couple things that jumped out. One, you know, I didn't always see him when he's going against linebackers. Don't always see him putting on these really great moves to get open. But what I do see is a guy who used some of that savvy, knows where to turn, when to turn, how quickly to get upfield. Now, I think there were sometimes he had some drops last year, and sometimes because he's trying to get upfield really fast to get those extra yards. I like that, but that's where it leads to some drops. That's just quickness, or, you know, just making sure you have it. But that's one of the things he does, is that ability to use that veteran savvy to get upfield with that. But is he dramatically better than what they've had? I don't think you can say that, but I do think I think they know what they're getting. He'll be, if he can be consistently productive, then I think he'll help. I also think they're going to find that Brian Robinson can be effective in the pass game as well, maybe more than they might realize at this point, although I haven't had really many discussions with them about that to see what they truly think of him. But, you know, I think that's one area. And then, of course, as Blaine Bowling just points out here, please sign a tackle. Yeah, that they have to get a tackle. Now, what they've done is they've set themselves up. There are good tackles in this draft. They have, a few second-round picks. If they want to move up to get a tackle in the first round, they can do that. It is a good draft, a deep draft for offensive tackles. So the way you look at it, again, you look at the offensive line. Is it going to be dramatically better this year? Well, first of all, I think Sam Cosmi is going to be better than he was. I think he was getting better. He'll be good. Biotis is an improvement. Allegretti, we'll see. I think, you hear from Kansas City that he was a guy that they viewed as a guy who should be starting somewhere, and that's what he's going to be most likely do here. And then you're going to probably have a rookie left tackle. Is that going to, but I think where you can be better, it's not just looking at talent. First of all, it takes time to gel. Like, that group will take time to mesh. But what you also have to hope for from their sake is that the scheme highlights what they can do better. And to me, what it would suggest is maybe you need to run the ball a little bit more early on. And if, especially if you have a rookie quarterback behind a new offensive line, you just have to make sure you're taking care of the quarterback. So you can improve the line through scheme. You can improve it through quarterback play and just getting rid of the ball on time. Going to be harder to do with the rookie. So you better make sure you have some good depth on that line. And listen, man, I would draft a couple offensive linemen. I don't care what they've done in free agency or what they continue to do. I'd want more guys in that system who I think can help me out, because that's what you need first and foremost. If you want to address the tackle, the good spot is the draft, because it is something where I think you, there's good value there at that spot and in the draft. And so, can you still go out and get a guy? Yes. And I haven't seen where Tyron Smith is still out there. Now, maybe I haven't heard his name here, but again, I've been expecting, I would think if you're going to go a 1-year deal for him, that he'd want to go somewhere where he can win that ring. And so I think that's, will be watched, but yes, tackle will be good in the draft. And I'll have other guys. I'll have Logan Paulson on again at some point to talk about the offensive lineman in the draft as we get closer, so we can go a little bit beyond quarterback to see what else they can do, because I think that is obviously a very key component of what they need to build here. I do like that they got the veteran center. Again, I've told you before, with the rookie quarterback, I think it's going to be big to have that to help with protection. So, but where else are they better? So I think when you look at the defense, I do think they are better, just because getting Frankie Louvu in there to me was a big hit. And I think when you add those defensive ends, I think that was very important. Now, are they better than what Montez Sweat was? Well, no, but they traded Montez. So the last 7-8 games or however many it was, that wasn't their defense. They are better than they were at the end of the season. I'll say that. I think Jeremy Chinn is a good, valuable chess piece for them. And certainly much less expensive than what I think Cam Curl would have been, and which is why he's still out there. But I think he gives you that versatility. So I think they're better there. They need to find a corner without a doubt. They need to find a couple corners. And I think that, but I like what they've done at linebacker. Whether or not Wagner can still be at a certain level, he's still going to be better than what they've had in recent years from what we have seen. And when you have, especially when you have, now you look at their three linebackers, this should be the best three they've had in a while. Maybe he's in, yeah, I think what they need him to be is a better version of where Thomas Davis was at the end of his career, which is a guy who was really known for his leadership, but really couldn't play much anymore. But they, so they need Wagner to play. But you look at that and say, okay, I think they're better. I think the other way they're better is just their, you know, the impact of coaching and setting the standard and all that. But I think it's just the impact of how you use guys, et cetera. And I think, you know, that's where I'm curious to see what is the impact there. Because you can't, it's hard to look at him and say, oh my gosh, they've closed, you know, have they closed this gap? Well, Philly's been pretty aggressive. So they're an interesting experiment too. But what I like is what they're starting to build. And this is not an overnight process. When Jacksonville went crazy in Doug Peterson's first year with free agency and doing this, I remember talking to was Joe Banner on this podcast. And I asked him about that. And he's like, he wasn't a big fan of that because he didn't think you're building for the long term doing it that way. This way, I think you are. And again, these aren't, you know, not everybody, I don't know that they've signed a guy who said, oh, this guy's going to be in the Pro Bowl or anything like that. I just think they've signed some solid, made some solid signings. And I think that's something they needed. They knew they needed a lot of players. And so I think I like the approach they've taken with this. So that's another thing that I think is important in all this. Let me see if we got any questions here for me on this. But it seems like a lot of people are just, it seems like you guys are pretty happy with how things have been going. If nothing else, I think it's a good start. Just again, I think it highlights the plan that they've taken. So I think it highlights plans. So Neil said, am I crazy for thinking Barton's athletic ability could be used as a piece in DQ's defense? Well, yeah, you are, because I don't think he's coming back. He's a free agent too. I will say, it's funny that you say that though. The only reason I even went to that one is just because after Quinn was hired, I had someone tell me like, oh, they think Barton would be a really good fit in that defense. However, Luvu is better and Bobby Wagner would be better for them as well. So I think those were good signings for them. And so Barton will be, you know, be out. Javon wants to know, is the curl window completely closed? Certainly feels like that. And I can't say 100%, but I would say I'd be surprised if he is back at this point. And so unless there's some, I don't see where he now fits in the defense. You have Quan Martin, you have Derek Forrest, and you have Jeremy Chin would probably be your three safeties. And then they brought Jeremy Reeves back. And that's something I've been telling you for a couple weeks that would be a probably happen. And it did. A 2-year deal for him, and good for him. I can't stress enough how impressive it is that here's a guy that, you know, he has survived three coaching regimes here. That's, if you're like a Ryan Kerrigan back in the day, or if you're a top quarterback, that's one thing. But you're a guy who is a special teamer who spent most of the time on the practice squad. That's a completely different thing. That's impressive. So that's where it's amazing to me what he has done and how teams see him and the importance of him. I can't stress enough how important I think he is in that locker room and in that meeting room with the defensive backs, but in the special teams room too. I'm not sure I've seen a guy that loves being in the locker room as much as Jeremy Reeves. So I think that was I knew that was coming. I think the other guys to watch with their bringing back, possibly, I'll be curious to see if they bring back like a Cornelius Lucas as a backup tackle. I think that's a possibility. I don't know that it'll happen.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground? Give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, zip lining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. Somebody asked about Kalik Hudson. I don't know. It was Commander Dan asked about it. I don't know. And I know early on there wasn't really, as of several days ago, there wasn't really much in that regard. But, you know, I've always liked Kalik. I think he can help on special teams. He plays fast. But in the way they're going right now, you know, you've got your top three guys. And again, you can add somebody in the draft if you want to. And I always would. I mean, I'm going to say you should add everybody at the draft. But you can now go in a lot of different directions in the draft because you filled these holes. And again, this is not a going from 4 wins to 11 wins type moves, but they are moves that allow you to build the proper way. Why? And because you're not, even if you could bring all these draft picks in, but how many of them are really going to probably come in and start? Not only a handful. So you needed to get these guys in here because you had so many holes. So then William says, people seem to forget these new coaches are DB whisperers. We have Forbes and Martin plus Armani and tight end Rodgers. Now, I like Armani Rodgers. I'll be curious to see how he develops coming off that Achilles. But he was a guy that I was anxious to see last year just because he was a new position for him and he has that athleticism. As far as Forbes go, I think it's going to take more than a whisper to get him going. I think he's going to have to decide when you talk to people last year, he's going to have to decide how much do you want to put in to work on your technique and to get going. And I think, you know, the kid doesn't shy away from things. So the size thing where it hurts him is when you have physical receivers like AJ Brown, guys like that can take advantage of that. But I think you have to then get back to, do you get better with your technique? Because if you do, then you have a chance to be good. I'm not going to rely on that. They did not draft him. I don't know what they thought about him before the draft. That's also another big key. I think we'll see what they thought about him before the draft based on their moves from here on out, whether they get another corner, whether they draft a corner, because you could always do that. And then, you know, that I think that'll be something to watch as well. But I'm not going to count on, oh, it's a system. It wasn't the system for him as much as it was. He just had to improve with his technique. That's something Darryl Green, when he went back to visit he went to a Commanders game, and that's one of the things he even pulled up. We saw him. He told us that in the assembled media in a little press conference before a game where he was at. Then we could see him later down on the field. He said he had 10 minutes on the phone. He said all it takes is this 10 minutes. Well, it's not quite that easy because it's not like people weren't telling him this before, but you could see him later showing that phone to someone. I can guarantee down in the field that he was showing someone else, like, this is what he's doing. This is what he's got to do. So that's a big thing for Forbes. And he's going to have to decide where do you want to go with it? Because if you want to go somewhere and you can work on that, he's a mature kid. He's got some ball hawking ability, but you've got to get that solved. Because if you don't, then the size thing does work against you because guys muscle you. So you have to learn how to overcome that, but you have to be much better at what they want, what they'll have to see. I mean, I know the previous staff, you can't blame everything on the previous staff. Like, they know that his technique needed work and it's going to have to be fixed. Now, if they can get him to do that, then you got a chance to have a good player. But if not, then you can also look for other guys and go from there. And I think if you're able to create with some of those, like Luvu and Wagner, good reputation of blitzers, if you can get Davis going a little bit in that role as well, then I think you can create some more pressure that you haven't been getting, and where, you know, the defensive back play becomes even more important when you're not getting that pressure and not fooling guys. But if you have that versatility in the front, you have two good tackles, you have a couple guys in the edge now that can rush a little, they're effective enough rushers where you can do some things with them, maybe get a little creative. You can put Armstrong can rush inside and some obvious pass downs. You have some guys who can, you know, again, who can blitz from linebacker. If they can get Davis pretty good in that role. He did some of that last year for sure. So if you can do that, now you can start to create some pressure and lessen the impact on the secondary. And the one thing, again, I've told you before, the one thing they did not do well enough last year
was to confuse the quarterbacks. The secondary was not good at disguising coverages. I felt like some of it was they just, and which is why they had so many big plays allowed, is because they did, they certainly weren't good there, but I think some of it was stemmed from just too much on their plate. And I think this group will lessen some of that. You can't play a simple defense, but you can play a defense that doesn't have so many layers of rules on it to allow you to play a little bit faster. If you do that, you then have a chance to see some real improvement. And all right, and Jason, last one, he asked, what type of receiver do you believe they need to get? Well, I was saying earlier, there's two. You need a guy who's got some size, because you don't have any receiver that has any real size, not just some tall, lanky guy, but somebody who's got some size, right? You know, 6'3", 6'4", and can win some of those 50-50 balls down the field. You need that. And so like that to me would be something. If you can get a really, really fast guy as a home run hitter, that's fine too. If not, you need the size, because they haven't had that big guy for a while. Somebody like, you know, Cam Sims size would be fine. Cam just wasn't consistent enough with things for them or for other teams. But that's the kind of guy, that's why I brought up Reynolds from Detroit, because he is 6'3", and he's a guy. I know Mike Williams is now free from the Chargers, 6'4". Obviously, Anthony DeLynn knows him. The big problem for him has been staying healthy, but he's really, really good at the 50-50 contested balls. That would be great. He tore his ACL in, I think it was September, October, early October, late September, something like that. So, but that's the question for him, is the health. And when you're 30 years old, you're getting in there, that makes it a tougher signing. So maybe you could get him on some sort of a one-year deal, but a guy that size would be good for them. I think they definitely need that. And you want the guy, especially if you're going to go down the field, you want to have a guy that can win some of those balls as well. So, and as Gregory points out, Nick Gates was released today. Well, yeah, that was reported that this was going to happen a couple weeks ago. When we reported at the time, it was said on the first day of the league year, they're going to release Nick Gates. Today is the first day of the league year. So that is, it's released. It's official. So anyways, folks, I'll take the last one from Virginia Slim. Have you seen a better free agency period than what we're seeing this week since covering the team? I've seen an effective, I'd have to go back and look at that. This has been an effective strategy. I will say that. I think to me, what I like the most about this is the strategy behind it. I think it remains to be seen how much better the roster is. I think in some ways it'll be better. Some areas you can say, well, let's wait and see. I think the coaching, the schemes and all that are going to play a lot into that as well. Listen, man, I covered the 2001 team with Marty Schottenheimer. That was not a great roster. They won 8 of their last 11 in part because of the coaching, the mindset of the kind of players they brought in and all that. So that's what that was about. So I've seen rosters where you say, how's this team going to win 8 games? And then they did, but it was because they brought in the right kind of players. And the coaches did a good job coaching them. That's kind of important here. And so I think that's where you can be improved. But I think where I like it the most, and this is where I say I like the strategy quite a bit, and because they did not overspend, they did not saddle themselves with bad contracts for the future, not at all. And so I think like that's the thing I like the most. So I think of all the strategies I've seen, this has been one of the better ones. I'd have to go back and look at some of the other ones, but I do think the strategy here, again, allows them, you fill holes and you're building through the draft. And so now what you need to do is have a good draft, decide who you want with the second pick at quarterback and go from there. So anyways, folks, that's going to be it for me. I appreciate you tuning in. I apologize for showing up here late. Don't know what happened, and I'm annoyed because it cost us a chance to talk to Nikki Javala from the Post. I will get her on very soon. I promise you that, and we'll go from there. So I'll be back with another episode on wrapping up another day, something like that. So talk to you next time. Thanks.